This is Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. During the pandemic, there have been three major themes that have been rising. First is, of course, healthcare and how to digitize this particular sector. The second is, of course, education. But the third, the most talked about item, I suppose, post-pandemic, is sustainability and perhaps how to digitize the world moving towards a more sustainable environment. Very recently, we've heard numerous news reports of how Intel Malaysia, for instance, is now running the largest solar farm outside of the US, aims to power buildings across Kulim and Penang campus. They are also doing a lot of other stuff, not just about sustainability, but in the computing world as well. To talk more about this is, of course, Robin Martin, the corporate vice president of Intel Malaysia. Robin is, of course, also the general manager of the assembly test manufacturing centers in and across the country. Welcome to the show, Robin.
Thank you, Ibrahim. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, of course, Intel and Malaysia has a very long and storied history. Let's start with the Intel history with the country and what kind of investments that you have made along the way, and perhaps how are you going to see the company behaving or performing or growing in this country moving forward?
Absolutely, Ibrahim. First of all, thank you for inviting me to this program. It's a thrill for me to be here, and I'm really excited about this opportunity. As you know, in fact, many may not know this, but Malaysia, or Penang specifically, is Intel's first international location. We have been here since 1972, and we'll be celebrating 50 strong years next year. In fact, Intel is known to be one of the 8 samurais that first set up operations back then. And today, we have over 10,000 employees across the Intel Malaysia family in Penang, Kulim, as well as a small outfit in Kuala Lumpur. Over the years, Intel has invested over $6 billion, so roughly about 25 billion ringgit. And we have grown to become a microcosm of the larger Intel. We've got manufacturing, we've got a very strong product design group, we've got sales and marketing, as well as a global shared services organization. And our Malaysia operations, Ibrahim, is one of Intel's largest, consistently contributing about 10% of the country's total electrical and electronic export each year, supported by a critical and massive supply chain ecosystem.
Let's talk a little bit more about what you have mentioned just now. We know that Intel is undergoing a lot of transformation procedures themselves, yourselves. And on the business front, what is Intel Malaysia responsible for? What are you guys manufacturing? And perhaps what are the plans for Intel Malaysia moving forward?
So Malaysia is one of Intel's 4 large global assembly and test manufacturing operations. Our factories house the most advanced assembly and test technology and produce a variety of Intel's largest or latest products, including the newest third generation Intel Xeon processors, codename Ice Lake. We also recently started up a brand new advanced test technology factory, which is part of our additional $10 billion investment commitment.
Robin, let's talk a little bit more about following items that you mentioned just now. There's a large product design team in Malaysia as well. What kind of work do they do? What kind of investments are they getting?
Oh, absolutely. Happy to. We also have the country's largest product design center, Ibrahim, with over 4,000 engineers. And they are contributing significantly to the design and development of Intel's latest products in the area of PCs, data center, Internet of Things, as well as field programmable gate array products. Now, this design center was established 30 years ago, and they are part of global teams today designing Intel's latest microprocessors, including the latest Xeon scalable processors, codename Ice Lake, which was launched just very recently this year. Now, there's also an Internet of Things group which is a part of our design and development organization. Over the years, Intel Malaysia has grown to be an IoT powerhouse, working really closely with the local IoT system integrators and the Malaysian government to drive the adoption of AI or artificial intelligence and IoT. And this is a part of the Industry 4.0 initiative. As an example, Intel Malaysia has been collaborating with local system integrators to come up with solutions that have helped tackle the spread of COVID-19. And our IoT team also participates in smart city programs. In fact, there's one going on right now, which is the Smart City of Penang project. So this has been proliferated to other towns as well as cities. And the whole idea here, Ibrahim, is to help develop a technology platform to better manage and control information. Finally.
Yeah. Sorry, go on.
Yeah. Finally, Ibrahim, also based in Malaysia, are one of Intel's key global shared services that provide support for HR, finance, IT, and procurement. And our Asia Pacific sales team, you know, it's really a mini United Nations under one roof. We have 10 nationalities calling upon customers across 16 countries in the region, utilizing scaling and innovative technologies such as AI and social platforms to better serve our customers in their digital transformation journey. So really, at the end of the day, the Malaysia team is at the heart of it all.
Yeah, so that's the point that I was asking. I wanted to ask you just now. The work that you guys do, while it has global ramifications, it's also very much intertwined with the local communities that is currently being operated in. In Penang, in Kulim, and other areas. What kind of community work that you guys are doing in those locales, as well as how this impacts the communities across Malaysia?
Sure, happy to share that, Ibrahim. So as I was mentioning earlier, our Malaysia operation is one of Intel's largest, contributing about 10% of the country's total E&E exports each year, right? And this is supported by a critical and massive supply chain ecosystem. Let me break it down a little further, right? In addition to the $6 billion worth of investments that we have made, we have approximately 12,000 employees across the company, across Intel Malaysia. And just last year alone, these employees contributed about 600 million ringgit in income tax as well as EPF remittances. Now, we also have passionate employees who dedicate their time and energy in serving our community. And we have this a wonderful program, which is called the Intel Involve Matching Grant, where volunteer hours are matched with dollars or ringgit to schools as well as non-profit organizations. And so far, we have dispersed close to 11 million ringgit to the community under this program. In this past year, during this ongoing pandemic, both Intel and our employees have donated over 4 million ringgit in donations, comprising medical equipment, much-needed PPEs, laptops to support students' e-learning, food, groceries, as well as care packages for the underserved communities and the many frontliners who are, conducting their roles every day, day in and day out. Now, last but not least, we also work very closely with academia and universities. We have got technical managers who sit on curriculum advisory panels, as well as conduct countless technical workshops at unis as well as public events annually. So, we are really proud to be contributing on multiple fronts in the community.
See, ESG, the environment, social and governance impact, is much talked about, particularly amongst GLCs and, of course, MNCs like yourselves. Mm-hmm. One thing that we need to mention is that while Malaysia is, for instance, the world's largest producer of collectively with Indonesia, of palm oil, that's not our biggest export. In fact, our biggest export, as you were already alluding to just now, is E&E, or electrical and electronics. And it's a significant contributor to our exports, amounting to close to 33%. So imagine if everything was exported out of the country, a third of it is E&E. And Intel is at the heart of it. So the planning for the future for Malaysia has to very much be intertwined with the planning of Intel in this country as well. Do you feel that there has to be some rethink into how you guys do your business in order to future-proof yourself? It's not just about semiconductors anymore. It's about soft skills. It's about AI. It's about machine learning. Where do you guys stand on this when it comes to Intel Malaysia?
That's a really good question, Ibrahim, because most recently, Intel has been partnering with the Malaysian government on talent building for the future, as well as the development of an Industry 4.0 ecosystem. For example, we recently collaborated with MIDA and MPC to launch an AI program for over 100 local SMEs to help them jumpstart their Industry 4.0 journey. Now, similarly, we also launched what we call the Systems Cloud for Universities platform with both Talent Corp as well as CREST, right? And the whole idea of this consortium was to enable remote hands-on learning access and bring the lab environment directly to university students. Now, these are just a few examples, but there's so much more that we hope to do in support of the country's My Digital initiative to transform Malaysia digitally by 2030. Regarding the uplifting efforts in the community, you know, our employees are really the real heroes here. Many of the activities are carried out by passionate employee volunteers just wanting to give back, right? Intel has funded so many employee-led initiatives like building isolation booths for COVID testing during the height of COVID, teaching teachers how to make full use of virtual classroom tools, making PPEs, delivering them to hospitals in need, mass distribution of grocery hampers and food, and the list just goes on and on. So again, you know, I'm really proud to say that our employees are at the heart of this fight against the pandemic. Not only do they keep the operations running safely without skipping a beat, Ibrahim, but they also help to keep their colleagues and families safe by following a stricter SOP and contributing to providing essentials, right, to the frontliners and communities in these times of need. You know, I feel so blessed and utterly grateful and proud to be leading this Intel Malaysia family.
Right. Robin, we'll go for a short break. When we come back, we'll talk about the semiconductor shortages that is facing the globe. We'll be right back after these messages. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me Robin Martin of Intel Malaysia. Robin, here's a personal story that I want to share with you. I wanted to buy a PS5. I couldn't. And apparently, it's because of a chip shortage. So despite all this, despite knowing all this, I still sent a strongly worded letter to Sony asking them, where's my PS5? But and all jokes aside, that is the reality that we're facing right now. The world is facing a chip shortage. And this is because of the increased demand for devices, because of the fact that the whole globe has finally gotten around to digitizing itself, anywhere from schools to healthcare systems. The whole world is now understanding or adopting the use of technology. People like you in Intel or people like me in a broadcasting world, we're already there. But to get the rest to join us is also important. And now they are here. So how is Intel managing that kind of shortage in resources? And how do you intend to manage the supply chain moving forward?
Mm-hmm. As you rightly pointed out, I mean, we are facing a global semiconductor shortage because the world is just becoming more digital, right? You know, with automotive, telemedicine, remote work, remote education and all, right? All of this is just driving this digital transformation. And every aspect of that digital world today runs on semiconductors, right? And with COVID, that has just accelerated it and put us into high gear. Now, the world needs more of these capabilities and really want a more balanced supply chain so that folks like yourself, Ibrahim, you will be able to get whatever you want, right? Now, we do believe that there's an over-reliance on a relatively small number of countries. So Intel does believe that it is one of the few companies in the world today that can step in to help with this. Because here's what we believe, right? That technology has never been more important for humanity. We are living in a digital world, which is driven by the following four superpowers, right? The cloud, the connectivity in 5G, AI, as well as the intelligent age. So really, Intel's technology and leadership products are more critical than ever, right? So here's what we are doing, Ibrahim. Seeing that there's a strong demand for Intel's products, right? We have been increasing our capacity to meet it, right? We have just announced what we call the IDM 2.0, right? And what this means is that we're going to be expanding our manufacturing capacity to meet the accelerating global demand for semiconductors. Just recently, our CEO, Pat Gelsinger, announced that we would be investing about $20 billion for two new fabs in Arizona in the United States, which will support the growing requirements of our current products and customers. And it will also provide committed capacity for foundry customers as well. Now, closer to home, as I'm sure you'll be asking me next, I mean, so what does this mean for Intel Malaysia, right? Well, I'm pleased to announce today that we are also increasing our manufacturing space in both our Penang and Kulim campuses. This will position Intel to better support its IDM 2.0 strategy, which plays a very key role in driving the four key global trends that I mentioned earlier: cloud, AI, the network transformation, FIG, as well as the intelligent age. All in all, Intel remains focused on supporting our customers, and you know, we're going to continue to work really hard, right, to increase our supply to meet our customers' needs.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit more about what Pat Gelsinger announced last month. You were alluding to the fact that you guys are moving towards an integrated device manufacturing 2.0, but how does that entail into the kind of workforce that you have right now? Are they going to go through some reskilling process, or are they going to upskill themselves? It's no longer just about the manufacturing per se, but perhaps moving across the supply chain, you know, from being a semiconductor producer to something else. What's the story of the IDM 2.0 when it comes to Intel Malaysia?
Well, IDM 2.0, as announced by Pat Gelsinger, our CEO, it's an evolution, right, and an expansion of Intel's business model as an integrated device manufacturer, which is IDM, which simply put is that Intel is a semiconductor company that both designs as well as build our chips. So when it comes to manufacturing, the important things are not going to change. Intel is and will remain a leading developer of process technology and a major manufacturer of semiconductors. Here's what IDM 2.0 is all about. It's going to expand our manufacturing capabilities and the ways that we build our Intel products through the following, right? One, we're going to continue with our internal and integrated manufacturing, right? Which means that we build what we design. Two, we're going to continue to use an expanded use of our third-party foundries, right? So we have always been using third-party foundries. There will be an expanded use. Now, the new one is this, right? That Intel is setting up a foundry business, a standalone foundry business, which is called Intel Foundry Services, right? And it's going to be a major provider of both US and European-based capacity in order to serve customers globally. As I mentioned earlier, capacity expansion plans are already underway for two new fabs in Arizona, and this will serve as Intel's first large-scale foundry operation. Now, what happens here, Ibrahim, is that a lot of those output from those fabs are going to cascade to our to Intel Malaysia's factories, where we have one of the four largest assembly and test facilities. So I see a very positive outcome from these investments that are happening in the U.S.
All right, Robin, let's talk a little bit more about the solar panels at your plants. We started off this interview by making a heraldry of that into mm-hmm. your plants. And of course, this is quite remarkable because something that could have been done many, many years ago is still not being done right now. And you guys are the first movers of this in Malaysia. If you think about it, all the factories in the country, from glove maker companies to palm oil companies, you're sitting on so much roof with no solar panels on it. It's bizarre that no one is doing this, and it's very timely that Intel is doing this. What motivated you and the company in trying to make this, I guess, a mark on how to build sustainable plants?
Right. Most definitely. In fact, what motivated Intel is that, you know what, we are raising the bar for ourselves. The company has even defined a set of goals that stretch out to 2030, right? To create a more responsible, a more inclusive and sustainable world, right? Now, more specifically in terms of sustainability, Ibrahim, we are truly committed to minimize our impact on the environment through emission, through waste reduction, energy, conservation of water, as well as investments in renewable energy, which is exactly what the solar farm is all about. So as you rightfully mentioned, Intel Malaysia recently announced Intel's largest solar farm outside of the US, right here in Malaysia, right? This is how big this solar farm is, right? It covers over 900 parking lots, which is about, I guess, 1.5 soccer fields, right? And over 50,000 square feet of building rooftops. And I guess you could equate that, Ibrahim, to about 4 Olympic-sized swimming pools, right? So we are definitely well on our way to achieving 100% renewable power as part of our company's 2030 goals, right? Now, this solar project contributes about 15% of Intel's global on-site solar electrical power capacity, right? And this is enough capacity to perhaps maybe power about, 800 to 900 Malaysian households for an entire year. Mm-hmm. And in the process, it's going to reduce carbon dioxide emissions, obviously, right? Which is what we're all after, right? To have a much cleaner and greener world or future, right, for the world.
Go on.
No, I would also say that, Intel has had a long history of corporate responsibility as a global leader through our own actions, through our own investments, as well as enabling customers to reduce environmental impact through the use of our technology, right? And that's why we raise the bar on ourselves, right? By setting those really bold, audacious goals and strategies in 2030, because what we aim to do is to become the most inclusive, the most responsible, and the most sustainable company on the planet.
Robin, before we end this interview, let's talk a little bit more about sustainability still, because Malaysia, for instance, have declared to cut emissions to 45% based on 2005 levels by 2030. This is very much in tandem with a lot of countries around the world, but we can't do this unless everybody else within the country does it as well. Do you feel that there has to be more outreach from Intel to the communities that you're operating in, to your peers, to your customers, to industry makers? Do you feel that there has to be more conversations on this, particularly when it comes to sustainability in manufacturing?
Absolutely. In fact, I think if I were to use how Intel and the rest of the E&E industry came together during the COVID pandemic in this last year, right, in how everyone supported each other to do what's right for our employees as well as for the country, in tandem with the government, right? I think that's a success story in itself, Ibrahim, of how the entire industry, and Intel is definitely going to be one of those players, right, to collaborate together with the government on this really bold 2030 goal that the government has. So yes, Ibrahim, we are in it.
Fantastic. Thank you, Robin. That was Robin Martin, the Corporate Vice President and General Manager of Assembly Test Manufacturing and Managing Director of Intel Malaysia. If you've missed any part of this interview, just head on to astroawani.com for Notepad. Plenty of interviews like this can be found there. And also, you can watch this on your mobile devices. Just download the Astro Awani app wherever you get the application. Until then, thanks very much for staying on with us and continue to be with us on astroawani.com.